We're talking about wineries and wine festivals around Wisconsin here on this Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So hold off for a moment on those hillside vineyards in Napa that are calling you. Many Wisconsin wineries grow their own grapes, and this is the perfect time of year for us to experience the wines made right here. So swirling, tasting, pairing, here we go. Wine lovers, what is your favorite Wisconsin wine or your favorite winery in our state? Have you ever tried ice wine? Did you like it or was it not for you? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ryan Prelwitz is president of the Wisconsin Winery Association, and he's co-owner, along with his spouse, of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon. Ryan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you, Kate.
So we're seeing dozens of wineries around our state. When did our cold state, known for beer, start getting into winemaking?
Well, the answer to that is it was slow over a progression of time. So back to the late 60s, early 70s, we had Von Steele and Bolesham Winery both opened up. And over the next, 30 years or so, there's another 10 wineries or so that opened up. And then in, starting in around year 2000, we had 13 wineries. Today, we have closer to 120, 110, somewhere in that range. I don't have the exact number at hand, but it's, we've grown by about 5 to 15 wineries a year. Pretty consistently over the last 18 years.
All right, so how do you manage to grow grapes here with our four seasons?
Well, the key is to choose varieties that can survive our winters here in Wisconsin. It really depends on how cold hardy a grape variety is. So a grape variety like Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon or Riesling isn't going to be quite cold enough capable to handle Wisconsin's winters. And so we actually use varieties that have been developed by a few different breeders over the years, including kind of the guy that's known as the grandfather of the cold climate grape industry named Elmer Swenson, lived in Osceola, Wisconsin. And so he did some breeding of different varieties to get what was grapes that could really sustain the winters here. The University of Minnesota has kind of taken over that project. And they've been releasing varieties since the mid-80s. Mm. And we now work with some varieties such as Marquette and St. Pepin, La Crescent, Frontenac. Those are all varieties that can handle the winter here in Wisconsin. And they don't have any issues with a few other things that that some of the cold climate or some of the California or vinifera varieties would have issue with.
So, Ryan, bring us closer to the taste. What do our wines taste like here in Wisconsin?
Well, so I think some of the common misconceptions are that there's only fruit wines or only sweet fruit wines that are being produced in Wisconsin. And I think that has really changed over the years. We have a really broad array of different styles that are being made in Wisconsin. It's everything from that sweeter, fruitier wine, but everything down to drier whites or drier reds made from Wisconsin-grown grapes. And there are other wineries in Wisconsin that use California varietals or that bring in from different regions. And so we're making a huge variety of different styles here in Wisconsin. And that's part of the fun of doing what we do is when you do this in a state that doesn't necessarily have expectations of exactly how a wine should taste with a specific variety. Like a Marquette is so new that we don't know exactly how it should taste, or people don't have that impression of how it should taste. And so we get the opportunity to kind of define that and to kind of create that palette.
Yeah, a clean palette, starting fresh.
Exactly.
We're traveling around the state to wine festivals and tasting. Our guide is Ryan Prelwitz, who co-owns a winery in Ripon and leads the Wisconsin Winery Association. What questions do you have about winemaking or wine tasting? Which wineries in Wisconsin have you visited? Do you have any favorites? Are there upcoming festivals that you enjoy that involve wine? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Let's bring in Aaron now, joining us from Peshtigo. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
I want to put in a plug for my local winery here in Peshtigo. It's called Forgotten Fire, which is a reference to the Peshtigo fire that burned this part of the state 160 years ago. And Peshtigo has been economically really hit the last 2 decades probably, and this winery is about 5 years old. They're really a bright spot in the community. They host a lot of events, a lot of benefits. They have a trivia night once a month, and they have live music and food trucks on Saturdays in the summertime. And they make a really extensive line of wines, from the sweet to the dry, and every tasty wine you can think of. They make a lot of unpretentious wines, which I enjoy. and hard ciders and things. And, it's a really nice focal point for the community up here.
Well, I really like how you bring in that community aspect, Aaron. Ryan, do you see communities rally around their wineries?
Yes, we do, definitely. So wineries can be a very significant economic impact to a community. And I think a lot of communities really do recognize that, the tourism impact people bring in, that wineries will bring in more people to a community, and, heads in beds, people in restaurants, gas stations get more traffic. All the other retail locations get more traffic anytime somebody comes into the community with the intent of visiting a winery, or they're coming in for another reason, for a festival of some sort in a community, and then they're also visiting a winery. So the wineries certainly feel the impact, and they are also some of the impact, or the reason for the impact. And so I think the communities really rally around that, and it's a great reason to advertise a community. For our own place, we say we're a reason for Ripon. So it's a reason that people know Ripon and enjoy visiting the community is because of the winery that exists there. And there's a number of other communities that do a really good job of embracing that winery that exists in their community.
Well, let's talk about some of those communities where these festivals are coming up. And as Aaron said, Forgotten Fire has lots of events and benefits. Take us to the Wet Whistle Wine Fest. This is at Von Steele Winery in Algoma this weekend. What can you tell us about it?
It's been around for years. It's a really popular festival. Von Steele is one of the oldest, winery in the state. They traditionally focus mostly on fruit wines, and now they have a broader array of styles. They're located in Algoma. Brad and Eric Schmeiling are the current owners. And it was a winery started by a guy named Constantine Frank. There's a lot of history that goes into it. And there's caves actually below the building where some of the production is still done today. So it's a really cool facility, a really cool winery. They do a great job.
Wait a minute, some production today is still done in the caves? So tell us how the caves get incorporated in the winemaking.
So there's barrel storage. Those are old stone caves that were built, essentially at the building of the building itself, which I think even maybe predated the winery itself. I believe they're storing barrels down there. They might be storing some tanks in there as well. They're relatively short ceilings in there because of the nature of the cave, but it's a cool atmosphere, and I think they will occasionally host some different events down in that space as well. So that's a cool atmosphere to do that.
And this Wet Whistle Wine Fest has a grape stomp this weekend. What might that entail?
Getting essentially messy feet. So a grape stomp is going to be, they'll have probably a barrel cut in half or a trough of some sort where people jump in with their feet. Sometimes they do a competition with it. So you've got a few people that get the same amount of grapes, and whoever can produce the most juice from their feet wins. Over a period of time.
When we're at the wine fest, is there a possibility you think we can get a tour of their winery, maybe see these caves?
Quite possibly. I don't know what they're doing on that specific day. I know they do regularly host tours. When you get a really busy day like that, it's hard to say how some of those offerings change. But I'm sure you can get a taste of wine and very well maybe we'll get a tour.
Wine will be in the mix. We'll take us to Kewaunee, the Cold Country Vines and Wine Fall Harvest Festival there. What's going on?
Sure. So Jay and Kay Steger are the owners of Cold Country. Cold Country is it's started probably 6 or 8 years ago. They have a really cool atmosphere. Jay is actually a little piece of knowledge. Jay is a nuclear engineer at the local nuclear plant, or historically was. I don't know if he's actually still there or not. But they've got live music going on and a bunch of other stuff happening.
Some grape picking in the morning.
Yeah, so that's that time of year. Right now, grapes are happening. Grape harvest is happening all throughout the state. Pretty much every winery is receiving grapes in at this point in time, assuming they're working with our Wisconsin varietals. So we're kind of gluttons for punishment here in the state where, all right, it's harvest time, so that's a really busy time of year.
Come to the festival, we'll put you to work. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're on a tour of wine-infused events and festivals around Wisconsin. Ryan Prawitz is our guide. He's president of the Wisconsin Winery Association. He owns a winery in Ripon. Have you been to wine tastings? What do you love about them? Or maybe you've never been to a wine tasting and have questions about how it works. Call in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to Wisconsin Weekend in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're swirling, tasting, and pairing Wisconsin wines in this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our state is home to dozens of wineries, and right now, in the fall, into the holiday season, it's a great time to sample our state's authentic reds and whites. Do you work at a winery? What is your favorite part of the job? What might surprise people about the work? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ryan Prawitz stays with us. He's president of the Wisconsin Winery Association, and he's in the business himself, owning a winery in Ripon. Well, let's continue on this festival path, Ryan. There in Cedarburg on the 21st is the Wine and Harvest Festival, another grape stomp there. What do we know about this festival?
So this one is a little bit more of a community-driven event where you've got Cedarburg. And as we were talking earlier about a community that's really embraced the winery, they are hosting a Wine and Harvest Festival in Cedarburg. Website is cedarburgfestivals.org. And it's been going on for 47 years, so that's a pretty long time. They have Cedar Creek Winery. It's located in Cedarburg, and that is the sister winery to Volosheim Winery, which is located in Prairie du Sac. They're actually the second owners of the winery. When the previous owner passed away, he had worked out an agreement with Volosheim to take over the business for him. And so you've got a neat bit of history there with essentially some families working together to maintain the business. And something that's really helped the community. Cedarburg's a really cool little community, and I think the winery really has a pretty big impact on that as well.
Well, also the same weekend, the 21st, 22nd, there in St. Croix Falls, two festivals, the Harvest Festival and Grape Stomp at Chateau St. Croix Winery. And then there's also Dragonfly Winery doing an event. So lots going on there.
Yeah. If you've never been to Chateau St. Croix, it was actually built to look like a castle, like an old English castle. Manor style. It's really cool appearance-wise. They've got some craft vendor booths. They're going to be doing a grape stomp. It's another cool atmosphere. And that's the thing you'll find with all the wineries throughout the state, is that it's fun to have different styles and different opportunities at each one of these. Each one has its own little flair, and each one has its own offerings. So it's just really fun to have that, where you can visit wineries throughout the state and get a little something different at each one.
Well, take us to Kohler. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Dancing Dragonfly is located pretty close to Chateau St. Croix. They have Grape Stomp going on as well. They've got food available, wine tastings. They've got some artisan booths as well, live music. Most of these, I think almost all of these, are free admission as well. So these are pretty cool opportunities to get out and see something new and different that you may not have been exposed to before.
Well, take us next month to Kohler, October 17th through the 20th. There's the food and wine experience. My guess is a little bit more high-end in Kohler.
Absolutely. I've yet to go myself. It's on my to-do list. It's right in the middle of harvest, so it's a little tricky for me to get there. But this is probably one of the nicest events in the state surrounding food and wine. Kohler does things well with their facility. They've got all kinds of different, they've got food shows or cooking classes. They've got all kinds of different brands that are there represented in different ways. It's just a really cool atmosphere. There's a lot of information about food and wine, lots of opportunity to taste different things, and it's just a fun atmosphere.
Well, there is so much going on. Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us and giving us a preview.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Ryan Prelwitz is president of the Wisconsin Winery Association, and he's co-owner of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a Wisconsin question about a rare butterfly.
We recently received a listener question from Rachel Potter in Fitchburg. She wondered, why don't more Wisconsinites know about the regal fritillary butterfly? Good question, Rachel. WPR's Mary Kate McCoy recently put on her hiking shoes and set out to find one on a restored prairie in southwestern Wisconsin. Rich Henderson of the Prairie Enthusiasts took her exploring.
It's not too wet. Maybe if we walk, we'll flush them. Wait, that's flying like a regal. It's behaving like a regal.
Oh,
come on, settle, settle, settle so I can get a look. Settle, settle. It looks like a regal. The back end's flashing black, white, black light. Top side of the back end is lots of dark, and the front end there's lots of orange. It looks like you took two different species of butterfly.
It's a beautiful summer day, about 80 degrees, sunny, no wind, perfect conditions for butterfly watching.
Are you seeing a white flash on the bottom side?
I think so.
The regals they can be pretty active, but they tend to stay kind of low like he was doing, dropping mm-hmm. down, coming up.
Kind of like that one right there? See it come up and down?
Oh, boy, no.
Yeah. It's moving this way.
That's a regal. That is definitely a regal.
The regal fritillary. It's majestic, it's charismatic, and it's one of Wisconsin's severely threatened prairie butterflies. But back to the listener's question, why aren't more Wisconsinites familiar with the elusive butterfly? Or why do monarchs get all the attention?
So when something's that well-known and popular and it starts to decline, it resonates with people. Regal fritillaries have been so rare for so long, a lot of people don't know they exist. But at one time, 100 years ago, regal fritillaries were as common as monarchs.
Henderson said to think back to your elementary school science class. What insect was used to illustrate metamorphosis? The monarch. That isn't to say the monarch isn't deserving of the attention and support. But the reality is, the regal is far more endangered than the monarch. And bigger picture, it's not one species that needs to be saved. It's an entire ecosystem. The insects are rare because the prairie ecosystem is rare.
We've converted or lost 99% of the habitat.
That was Jay Watson, a conservation biologist at the DNR.
So they're really little postage stamp size things all over the landscape. And these butterflies used to, you know, move all over the landscape. It was intact. But now it's kind of like the island effect where they wink out here, and there's no way to recolonize. So then they're gone from that site. Then they're gone from another site. And all those little events add up into, and all of a sudden, the species is kind of going down the extinction vortex.
Watson says that while there are a few butterfly communities still hanging on around Wisconsin, Rekels have all but disappeared east of the Mississippi. Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska are the only strongholds left. Watson said helping Rekels is a little trickier than, say, planting milkweed for monarchs. Rekels are picky about their habitat. They need lots of open space and lots of islets. Watson says it's been a good couple of years for Rekels and other butterflies, but it only takes one extreme season to knock them out at a site, and it's a constant challenge to restore and maintain enough habitat.
They were persisting in areas that were grazed. People had their cows on there, and if they weren't grazed too intensely, there were still enough violets and enough of that intact system left.
Watson says different types of management could benefit the Rekels. He says the first step is being aware of the different requirements species need to live out their life cycle. And for Rekels, that means more intact prairies.
WPR's Mary Kate McCoy brought us this report on the Rekel fritillary butterfly. And this story idea came from an audience question as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every single Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@WPR.org, and we'll explore your tip for a future program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.